The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Amen. 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 You know, we've been talking about being established in our position. When you're in Christ, you have a position in the body, a place where God puts you. He equips you for that place. It's the place of peace, of safety. It's a place of strength because it's His strength. It's our job to stay in the position He puts us in. You know, as I started this whole series, you know, the things that take you out of position, again, I've said it before, nothing takes you out of position except you. The enemy can't move you out of that position. You have to move. And these are the three things that influence us to move out of position. And we've talked about it. The first one that we preached about was selfishness. The second one was fear. And this third one is pride. And if you look at it, they're all intermingled. I mean, there's parts of each in each. And none of these, in case you haven't read Galatians, none of those are the fruit of the Spirit. In case you wondered, none of them. Zero. And you know, the answers is easy, you know. And like Will said, you know, when I say admit it, quit it, and forget it, that's simple. Simple, right? It's not easy. It's not easy. And there's going to be tools to get you to walk through that process. And that's why I'm so thankful for Celebrate Recovery and the wonderful people. I'm telling you. I'm telling you guys. And I just say in ministry, just doing that one thing God told you to do, it's worth it. It's worth it. I mean, you know, when you see the manifestation of God's work, it humbles you. And so that's where we have to be looking from. That place where we see what He's doing, not what the enemy's showing you, all these other things. If you look from the perspective that the enemy wants you to look at, you're going to walk in pride. You're going to. And we can't do that because it takes us out of position. Let's start with, first thing, I looked up pride. You know, you think you know what it means? I looked it up again. But the best definition was an inflated self-importance. Isn't that the truth? Right? An inflated self-importance. Let's just kind of remember that as we move through these scriptures. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for You defining what things are important, what things mean, how we're supposed to advance Your kingdom, Father, the way You want us to walk out the simple life You have for us that You know isn't easy. You know it isn't easy on this world, but that's why You gave us Your Spirit, the one who knows everything about everything, to lead us into the truth we desperately need each and every day. Today, lead us in Your truth, Father, as we rightly divide Your word by Your Spirit, Father. We're confident that Your word will not return void. It's going to accomplish something today. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. So let's go to James. Excuse me, James chapter 4. I'm going to be reading verses 5 through 7 and then 10. I don't know if I did below. But I looked at my notes. I'm like, oh well. So James chapter 4, I'm going to start in 5. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain? You know, when God asks questions like that, He's giving you an answer is what He's doing. It says, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. You see, the Holy Spirit isn't just kind of sitting there. No. He's inside of you. He's always working. He doesn't sleep. He's always leading you to the Father. Again, it's our choice. We're going to be leadable. It says, but He gives more grace, that unmerited favor, which we desperately need. Therefore, He said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Then it says, therefore, because he's giving you grace, because you know that pride will get you resisted, because of this, it says submit to God. Because of this, you have your spiritual warfare scripture usable now. Because you know that his spirit's inside of you. Because you know he's leading you to the truth. Because you know that if you walk in your own ways, you're going to be resisted by God. Because of this, that's why it uses the word therefore. Submit to God, which is the first step in spiritual warfare. And guess who's in spiritual warfare? Everybody. Everybody in this room, the youngest to the oldest, you're in a spiritual battle. You may see the physical manifestations in your daily life. In fact, you will see the physical manifestations. But understand, it all started in the spirit. Because there's an enemy out there trying to get you to focus on other things instead of what God wants you to focus on. I mean, the answer to these questions, the answer to, you know, how do I stay in position? Simple answer. Be spirit-led. Okay, great. This is the how. I need a lot of hows. You know, because you know how you think you know something, and you go to apply it, and then you get in the middle of it, and you're like, I need lots of help. That's why the Holy Spirit is the helper. Whew. He already knew you needed help. All right. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Then resist the devil. Then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I've preached about this a lot. Why? Because oftentimes you see people resisting the devil, and the devil isn't fleeing. Well, go back a few words in the verses. Keep going back. Find the area that the mistakes are being made. Allow the Holy Spirit to work through you to correct those mistakes. Then go back to submitting to God. He'll show you how to resist. Oh, and then guess what? He'll flee. Because it's always his way, people. It's always his way. And that's what our perspective should be. I was reading Job. Like chapters 37 and 38 and 39 and 40. These are the chapters where God's telling Job, hey, where were you when I did chapter 37, chapter 38, chapter 39? I mean, he just kind of sets Job in his place. I've sat there with Job listening to God. And it's like, Lord, I need your perspective. Mine isn't going to cut it. But because of Christ, okay, because of the ABCs of Christ, right? A, admitting and acknowledging, hey, I've sinned, I need a Savior. B, believing Jesus, he is that Savior. And then C, confessing that with your mouth. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart he rose from the dead, you will be saved. That's Romans 9, or 10, right? The point is, then you have the Holy Spirit. Who will lead you into the truth you need, who then you can have the perspective you have to have for every situation and every circumstance. Because you have to have it. And see, when you're walking in pride, you have a inflated self-importance. You're looking at things from your inflated position. And then you want to act from that position. Doesn't work well, does it? I mean, really, at the end, it doesn't. A lot of times, people don't know that they don't know. But at the end, they end up knowing, right? I mean, when it crashes and burns, we don't have to get to the crash and burn. But we do have to get to the, I need to come back and look at and say, God, how do you see this? I'm seeing it this way. And oftentimes, the first realization that you're getting out of position is how you interact with other people. That's the first symptom, I'm telling you. Why? Because we're a body. Here's the thing. You know, if you're If you're on a team and you have your position, okay, sorry for those who don't like sports, I'm sorry. Listen, you know, if I'm on the mound, I expect my catcher to be back there, and he starts, you know, giving me all the stuff, right? I expect him to be there. Do you think I notice if he isn't there? Yeah. It's like, where's Ottman? Where's he at? I hope he's watching this. You know, it's like, number one, who am I going to throw to? The backstop? Number two, what am I going to throw? Does the second baseman and shortstop know what we're doing? No, because that one's out of position. They're gone. The people around you are going to notice as you are slipping from position, and there'll be friction. That's why in that verse it talks about, why are there quarrels amongst you? Remember in James from before? Those are symptoms. Now, I'm not sitting and telling you every friction with person is you walking in pride. That's not what I'm saying. But I am going to say, when there's friction, right, step back and say, God, I need your perspective. Ralphie Joe is causing friction. Ralphie Joe has caused friction again, and he keeps doing it, God. And you know, sometimes God says, yeah, I know he is. Keep praying for him. And you know, sometimes God says, yeah, you know who's causing friction, Monty? It ain't Ralphie Joe. It's you. Oh, I need his perspective. I need it badly. Why? Because it's only from his perspective and his leading can I have true love, true joy, true peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Those are the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5. I want to walk in that fruit. That's the abundance we're supposed to have in this life as Christians. And when I'm off of that, when I'm frustrated, not fruit of the Spirit. When I've got fear, not the fruit of the Spirit. Those are symptoms telling me that I need to back up and gain some heavenly perspective. Remember, the Scripture tells us we have the mind of Christ. It's by the Holy Spirit. The Scripture tells us that our position is seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. That's what it says. It doesn't just say that for fun. That really is the position God has put you in. But you have to be there. Right? And really, all that takes is submitting, which is a humble place, which at the end of the day, that's the most powerful position to be in. It takes the pressure off. I'm going to humbly serve him. Yeah, but what you going to do when this happens? I don't know. I'm going to ask him. Yeah. What you going to do when this happens? I don't know. I'm going to ask him. Because he told me he'd give me the Spirit of truth that would lead me into all truth. That's from John chapter 16. We need him desperately. Guys, and our perspective of needing him desperately will keep you Spirit-led. It will. It's when we go about our business thinking, well, I don't really need him. God, I'm not going to bother you with this. I got this. That's a little bit of inflated self-importance. I can handle this. No, I can't. Then in verse 10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You don't have to lift yourself up. Because let's face it, you can't. You can't. Have you ever tried to lift yourself? I mean, I could jump about that high. But I mean, I can't lift myself. But man, God can. He'll lift you up and put you in a place where you can see things you never would have seen. Man, I've been fortunate enough to get on top of some of these mesas, on top of some of these mountains. You wouldn't believe the things you can see. Things that you won't see when you're just down in the valley, you know, and you're just surrounded by the stuff. But he'll lift you up, and he'll take you to this high place that he prepared for you. You're seated in the heavenlies with Christ. And he'll show you what you need to see for this situation. And then he'll direct you as you submit to him. See, that's humility. That's allowing him to be God, because he's pretty good at it. Read Job 37, 38. I mean, he talks about all the stuff he made, and then he asks Job, where were you, big boy? I mean, I don't know how many times God's had to stop me and say, Monty, quit messing up what I'm doing. Do you have any idea what I've been doing to get these people in this position? Now, just do what I tell you, not what you think you should do. Because I've had a lot of good ideas in my life. Ask my wife, she's not here. They were really good. The best understanding I've ever gotten was that I don't even want an idea, God. You tell me what to do. And it took the pressure off. I don't have to figure it out anymore. Even the troubling things that create the fear and anxiety, those troubling things, you say, God, I don't know how to fix it. Let's face it, if I did, I probably wouldn't be here. But I know you do. Help me. Help me. We just got to get in that position, people. Because that's a position of strength. See, so many times we're taught that, you know, self-sufficiency, and, you know, and especially out here in the West, guys, right? We can get her done. Not really. I need him to show me. Now, do I walk out what he's told me with obedience? Yeah, absolutely. We are his body on this earth. The body has to do its work as the head leads. It's such an important, I mean, and remember, I'm not done this week. I'm not done with pride. I've got a lot more. But I wanted to go through these scriptures because at the end of the day, that verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. And I know a lot of times we feel pressed down. We feel under it. We feel at the lowest level. What do I think about feelings? You're going to feel lots of ways. But they won't last. It won't. How you feel won't last. He'll change how you feel. He will. He gives you peace. It surpasses what you can even understand. Let's read this. I'm going to read it quickly. I'm going to read it. Excuse me. I'm going to read it in the Passion. Same verses. Does the scripture mean nothing to you? It kind of passionately tells me things. Does the scripture mean nothing to you that says the spirit that God breathed into our hearts is a jealous lover who intensely desires to have more and more of us? Well, that tells it straight, doesn't it? But he continues to pour out more and more grace upon us, for it says God resists you when you are proud, but continually pours out grace when you're humble. So then, surrender to God, stand up to the devil, and resist him, and he will flee in agony. I like that part. Verse 10, be willing to be made low before the Lord, and he will exalt you. I like how it says that. Go to 1 Peter 5. I'm gonna read all 10 verses. You'll like it. 1 Peter 5, I'm going to read 1 through 10. It says, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Verse 2, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. I take that serious. Likewise, you younger people, that's me, submit yourselves to your elders. Okay? All right. You know, okay. I got to do everything they say. No, no. Have a humble heart towards people. Look what it says. Yes, all of you. Uh-oh. I was okay when he was talking to the younger people. Uh-oh, now he's talking to me because I'm part of all. All of you, be submissive to one another. And be clothed with what? Humility. Humility. Whew, man. It says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. There it is again. You know, it's, you look back on your life, different times of your life, you know, we all start somewhere, our life takes its course. Everyone has been in a position where, you know, you were the underling, right? The lowest of the low. And then, you know, as you kind of move up through the ranks, be it a job, be it in sports, be it whatever, you know, you start gaining a position. And, you know, as you get older, same kind of thing. You gain a position in the world because you've got gray hair. You've lived a little bit longer. You've got more experiences. And oftentimes I want to share my knowledge. I think back to what Paul said, I intend to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. That's why it's important we submit to each other. What do I mean by that? That means I try not to share something with someone unless I really know the Spirit wants me to. I mean it. I mean, am I there all the way? No, I had to ask my wife the other day, talking about unsaid child of mine. Unsaid, I ain't saying which one. But I'm going to say him. That narrows it down a little. I asked Sarah, I said, you know, because as you get older, your dad position changes a little. I hear some giggles. You know what I'm talking about. And I don't want to just tell what they should do. I mean, when they ask and they do, I want to share. But even then, I just want to share. I don't want to go out of my own understanding, right? Because I have a little bit of a memory, and I wasn't near where they are when I was their age, so praise God, right? I only want to share what God wants, because at the end of the day, His perspective is all that matters. I may have my ideas about being a husband, being, you know, all the stuff, but all of that really isn't what He needs to hear. He only needs to hear what God wants to say, right? And you know, it's hard to catch yourself because you have an inflated idea of who you are as dad. And that's the way they respond. No. I'm kidding. God bless that baby. I love babies. And I love their cries. Mamas, when your babies cry in service, let them cry. Love them and do what you got to do. It doesn't bother me at all. I mean, from my heart, I mean that. Because they'll be older one day. And all the words that have been spoken that's going in their little spirits is going to provide something, I'm telling you. I believe that. I mean it. Because that's how good my God is, right? And so as we walk out this walk of grace, that unmerited favor, we have to submit to each other. And that's just a position. It's a position you put yourself in saying, listen, I may have ideas about what's right, and that's okay to have your ideas. Take them to God. Before you share those ideas, take them to Him. And watch Him with His little dry erase eraser go, what were you thinking? Okay, Lord, what do you want to do? All right, therefore, humble yourselves, verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Have you heard that before? In James? Same author, by the way. And I'm not talking about the physical writer. I'm talking about the same author. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Well, that takes care of the fear part. Then it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He only devours the devourable. That's not us. That's not us. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You ain't the only one. You got people, that's why we're together. You got people that understand. That's why Celebrate Recovery is great. That's why coming to church is great. That's why coming to Bible study is great. You get with people that understand, hey, everybody has their heart, like Louisa was saying. But may the God of all grace, that's who he is, by the way, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, may he perfect, establish, and strengthen and settle you. Because he's the one that does it. Those verses. Can I read? I'm just going to read the two verses in the Amplified, okay? And then I'll finish. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders, the ministers, the spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. That's a responsibility. That's why I don't give a lot of counsel. Meaning, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you who to go to. That's what I'm going to tell you, just so you know. Clothe and apron yourself. I love this. Clothe. Put it on yourselves, all of you, with humility as the garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you. I love how it says this. With freedom from pride and arrogance. Because isn't that what it does? It ties you up. And you get resisted, by the way. Toward one another. Okay, for God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, assuming stuff, the boastful, and he opposes, he frustrates. There's a symptom. Frustration is a symptom, by the way. And defeats them. But he gives grace, he gives favor, blessings to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation. Don't be self-inflated. Under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. I went really long today. We're going to go next week too, so don't worry. Guys, these studies that we've been doing are important. Why? Because we need each other in position. We need each other in position. Because the body of Christ is, look, the gates of hell are trying to keep us out of where God's taking us. The body is advancing his kingdom, taking us into those places. Because you know those places? You know what those places have? People. People that don't know the good news. People that are in bondage right now. That he wants to set free, and he's going to use his body to set the captives free. Because that's what Jesus does. He's good at it. But he's going to use us. How? However he tells you. As you submit to him, guess what? Pastor Mike don't have to tell you how. You'll know how. When you come up against that person, that thing, you'll know how to advance God's kingdom in their life by just submitting. And that's all.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton.
Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore.